Are you ready to continue our exploration? You're not tired yet. If you want to rest a moment, I recommend the castle cafeteria, which you can get to directly from the Courtyard of Honor where you are standing. If that's what you're going to do, press pause and I'll wait for you here. The cafeteria holds its own literary salon, the Café Castello series, and during the summer, also in the Courtyard of Honor, there are concerts for the summer castle season. As you see, the castle is still an important cultural resource for the city. If, on the other hand, you can't wait to carry on, use the exit in North Ravelin, the opposite one to where you came in. A drawbridge like this is like something from a story. With its powerful chains and great rings of iron, and looking down between the great planks, you glimpse the glimmering moat. In front of you now is the beginning of a wide street that leads straight to the city walls. It is called Corso Ercole d'Este, and is considered one of the most beautiful streets in Europe. It has fascinated travelers for centuries. Cross Corso Giovecca and carry on down Corso Ercole d'Este. Savor the architecture of the palaces. You are in one of the most emblematic parts of Ferrara. Corso Ercole d'Este was planned as the main street of the city's Renaissance edition, which was directed by Duke Ercole and put into brick and stone by the court architect Biagio Rossetti. Elegant and spacious, this street was the address for the most influential courtiers, the richest families, and those closest to the dukes. The Renaissance edition, which includes the area we are now walking through, was a grand undertaking of city planning, and was intended to celebrate the power of the Este family at their zenith. It succeeded in raising the city to the level of a modern European capital. In this part of Ferrara, everything is light and order, even if you know that this appearance hides a secret, which isn't so secret anymore but is still fascinating. Some scholars maintain that the plans of the edition were laid out on the basis of the correspondences with the stars. This is reinforced by the well-documented fact that part of the planning team was the learned classical scholar Pellegrino Presciani, a great student of astrology and at that period the kingpin of court culture. On this account, astrological calculations suggested both the boundaries of the edition and the positioning of the most important buildings. The Palazzo dei Diamanti sits at the most important astrological position. The axis of Corso Portamare and Via Biagio Rossetti are oriented so that at the equinoxes, the first day of spring and the first day of autumn, the sun rises and sets exactly at their ends. That elegance that is the very breath of Ferrara is particularly intense in Corso Ercole d'Este. It makes me think of the description of the city in the diary of a French diplomat, Charles de Brosses, who visited Ferrara in September 1739. He records admiringly that the city seemed large and spacious, and he enjoyed his strolls along the magnificent streets which seemed to be laid out with a set square, and where there wasn't a single ugly building. Nevertheless, further on in his notes, he laments the deserted beauty of the city, and finished by saying that during his visit, he saw not a living soul, only the deep blue cats eyeing him from the palace windows. The Palazzo dei Diamanti. It's impossible not to be impressed by this Renaissance gem. One of the most famous in the world, designed by Biagio Rossetti for Sigismondo d'Este, brother of Duke Ercole, the Palazzo dei Diamanti looks down on the Quadrivio degli Angeli, the Angels' Crossroads, another important point of the edition and rich in symbolism. The 8,500 blocks of white marble are carved into diamond shapes. The diamond was one of the symbols of the House of Este, and represents the power of the sun. On clear days, when the sky has not a trace of cloud, Palazzo dei Diamanti really does seem to shine with a powerful light, and gazing at it can be a powerful experience. On the subject of the palace stonework, there is a story whose source is lost in a remote time when fireside stories tangled fantasy and reality. Apparently, Sigismondo hid a real diamond in one of the stone diamonds of his palace. Naturally, no one has ever found it. Today on the ground floor of the palace are art exhibits of international importance, and on the first floor there is the State Picture Gallery with a collection of works from the city's artistic heritage of the 13th to 18th centuries. Don't pass up the opportunity of seeing them. Now, across the Angel's Crossroads, today the meeting point of Corso Erco d'Este in Via Biagiorzetti to the left, and Corso Portamari to the right, there is the imposing Palazzo Prosperi Sacrati, with its sumptuous portal. Unfortunately, it isn't open to the public, but it is interesting to know that inside Wim Wenders and Michelangelo Antonioni shot parts of their 1995 film Beyond the Clouds. Film directors have always loved Ferrara and the countryside surrounding it, and I think you may be beginning to understand the reason.